And we are here. Combo, looking fresh, looking clean. How are you?
Appreciate that, Max. Doing well. How you been?
Doing great, man. I had to wear the LA bronze shirt with the purple background today. Forget about the red. Forget about the green. We're going LA spirit. I saw Bron in Seattle. Granted, it was only one half. But the man is a walking, living legend. And I wanted to give him flowers by literally wearing his shirt today. So don't, you don't have to call me a fanboy by any means. What you could just say is I'm a witness and appreciating greatness. So that's, I'm feeling great today.
How do you look in that half?
He look good, man. He's there for the people. You know, he's not there for his stats. The man's already going to break Kareem's record this year. He doesn't need to add any more pro-am stats. He's there to impact lives. People that are camping overnight will never forget that they saw LeBron, Raymond James that day. That he's thinking big picture. He's not thinking stats at a halftime at a pro-am game. Come on now. He looked good. He looked good to answer your question.
LeBron is great, but it is crazy to sleep overnight to watch anybody play.
I would do it. I would do it. If I never saw LeBron play, I would do it.
Oh, man.
I mean, come on. Like, listen, that's a story.
Not combo.
I wouldn't do it for a PS5, you hear me? Like, I wouldn't do it for a piece of technology. But to see a man who could be, like, think about this, combo. Just big picture thinking. Forget about the game of basketball for a second. Just life. How many people could actually say they're the best at doing something of all time? Whether that's playing video games, whether that's business guy, whether that's tech mogul, whether that's freaking whatever you want to say, artist, doctor, the best at your craft, arguably of all time. Like, you get to witness that. I don't like, and it's not even just about LeBron himself. It's about what he represents. To me, I don't know. I just find that remarkable.
I appreciate LeBron. I definitely think there's an argument he's the greatest player ever.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at anybody saying he's the greatest player ever.
I appreciate
Would Combo
that.
Wait in line to watch anybody play overnight? Overnight? No, Combo will do that. But I definitely appreciate LeBron.
Let me tell you this. So how about there's a celebrity game, right? And you and I get invited. For some reason, you can't make it. You get banged up. Not wishing that upon you. But I'm in the game. But the only way you could go watch me play is you got to get there overnight. Would you do it for me?
I got to sleep overnight to watch Max Van Auken play basketball.
Because of circumstances, the only way you can watch me play.
First of all, I was invited to the game, so that should give me very easy access to watch the game if I am banged up.
It's a chaotic event. People are crazy. They're lined up at the gate. Your seat
got
taken. Wait,
they'll be like, wait, that's Combo from Combo's court? Wait, get him in. And that wouldn't happen, so I get to watch Max play. So
touché,
it's all
touché.
Good.
Okay.
There's your answer.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. I'll give it to you. But no, I feel good, man. Just got my morning workout in, working on a lot of career stuff at the moment, so I'm excited. I'm very I'm anxious, but yet learning the value of patience, as you've been trying to teach me as well. So all life is great, all is well. I feel good.
Impatient on the day-to-day, but patience in the long term, I think, is key.
Yeah, I feel like I'm leveling up. I'm in the maturation process. I feel like I'm getting wiser by the second. I'm trying to grow out my mustache. I feel like I'm approaching life and it's not approaching me.
Oh, that's great, man. You're working on your wisdom.
I am. I'm reading more, which you'd be pleased with. I'm taking cold showers, early mornings.
What have you been reading?
David Goggins Can't Hurt Me, which is my favorite book of all time. So it's more of a reread. But also, I have Barack Obama's book next to me. And then on top of that, I have Carmelo Anthony's book, actually, that my mom got me a while back that I never actually read. So I'm going to give that a read. So, you know, just trying to be a student of the game. Trying to be a sponge.
It's really good. Reading is important, and rereading is great. So, because, you know, you always want to read the great books over and over again.
Yeah.
That's always important.
I'm also really into business, you know, so there's a lot of good business books. And I don't know if you've ever read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I started that but never actually finished it. And my girlfriend, that was like an assignment of hers. She had to read it. So I was like, you know what, I'll read that with you, actually, because I heard it's a great business book. But then I got tied up, and when, I don't know, I just put it to the side, whether that's right or wrong. So I'm like, you know what, I'm going to pick that up and give that a try again. So, you know, just trying to be a mogul out here, Combo. Trying to be a mogul. But nonetheless, I got into a debate two nights ago. I went roller skating. And someone asked me about, they've listened to the podcast, by the way, so I thought I'd shout them out. Shout out to my guy, Sim. And he's a diehard Magic fan. So he listens to ours for sure. And he's like, I'm telling he's like, I'm telling you right now, the Orlando Magic are going to make the playoffs. And I was like, okay, I understand you're a big fan here, but let's slow it down a little bit. Let me break it down to you. So he's like, well, tell me why they're not going to make it. I'm like, I can give you 8 reasons why they're probably not, because there's 8 teams I think that are better than them. But he's like, with Markelle Fultz coming back, it's really them being healthy. And he talked about Jonathan Isaac, obviously Fultz, if Sugg develops his jumper a little bit. I don't think they make the playoffs next year. Regardless, I think Paolo's the best player. I think he could win Rookie of the Year. I don't think they make it next year in the playoffs. I think they're better than they were this year, but I don't think they make the playoffs. Do you?
I don't think they make the playoffs. I don't think that should be their sole purpose to try and make the playoffs. I think that they should develop the duo of Franz and Paolo, definitely give Paolo the keys, and see who you want to move forward with.
Right.
With the players that are around them.
I agree, because I looked at the Eastern standings from last year. We already know about the Miami Heat, number one seed. You have the Celtics, you have the Bucks, you have the Sixers, the Raptors, the Bulls. We know about those teams. Brooklyn, I feel even if, let's just say they kept Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and you have Ben Simmons, that's nasty. Atlanta Hawks just got Murray. They got better. The Cleveland Cavaliers were slept on. They had a really good first half of the season. They're going to be better. With Colin Sexton coming back, I don't know where he's going to end up. But then you have the Charlotte Hornets. So I'm like, I don't think that's 10 teams that I just gave you. Not to mention the New York Knicks, and who knows what they do with Donovan Mitchell. Bradley Beal's coming back with the Wizards. The Pistons and Pacers, I'll give you that, maybe. But, I just don't see it. And I'm not – you know, I'm a glass-half-full guy, too, and I'm a Magic fan. So I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but just being real, I don't see it.
Here's the thing. It's probably a good year to be in the mode that they're going to be in, because Wemby's coming. Scoot Henderson is coming. This is going to be a really good draft class. They're not title contenders right now. So why not just work on what you have to work on, develop Paolo, develop Franz, see how those two work as a duo, and then, as I said before, just see who you want to move forward with around those two.
Yeah. No, 100% agreeance. And figuring out the identity, right, and creating that culture, mm-hmm. which I think Paolo will be the identity, by the way. I do think he will be the guy for the Atlanta Magic.
He's definitely going to have a great chance. Like, they're going to give him the keys, the hype train's with him. So all he has to do is perform now. You know, he's in a great situation. The one thing I would say, basketball wise, the fit is going to be a little bit wonky, which might be challenging for him at times, but it's a great opportunity in terms of that. This is his franchise. It's his franchise for his taking. Like, if he does well, it's all his. So great position. He just signed that Jordan sneaker deal, which is phenomenal. So it's a great start for him already. He just has to play.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I am intrigued, though. Orlando, when you look at who has come through Orlando, the talent, the Shaquille O'Neals, the Grant Hills, you've had obviously Dwight Howard, you've had a lot of talent. Do you think they ever reach the point where they become attractive to free agents, even if they're elite? Like, I mean, even when they were at the NBA Finals, I don't think they were really a big free agent destination, but you have to think about Florida's a very attractive place to live. Orlando's a very popular city. There's a lot going on. Do you think even with this young core, and in a perfect world, let's just say this young core develops the way it's supposed to, Paolo ends up being that guy, all the above, let's just say everything checks off for Orlando the way they expect it or want it to, do they ever end up becoming one of those teams like, you know what, I actually want to go to Florida. I want to play with the Orlando Magic. That looks fun.
I don't know, but maybe it won't have to be if Franz and Paolo develop in the right way that we want them to, and then they just build around those two. But I think Orlando is a great city. I visited before. I love it. I think it'd be a great place to live. Brooke and Robin Lopez will tell you the Disney World experience is amazing. So it should be a destination. Nice weather, right? I mean, I guess you do have to worry about the hurricanes once in a while. But besides that, I love the weather out there. So I think it's great. Like, I don't see why somebody wouldn't want to live in Orlando. You know, it's not like OKC. Just all the OKC fans out there. But, like, who wants to live there for, like, you know, years and years and years. I mean, KD showed that he didn't want that. So, but he's actually showed that he doesn't want to be on any team.
Exactly. The roads are never done in Orlando. I'll tell you that, because I'm in Orlando probably once a week. The roads are never done. That's probably the worst complaint I have. Like, that's the biggest one.
That's New York too, though. I mean, that's most cities, man, because there are always going to be problems with roads, potholes, and you're right, though. I think other countries got that down better than America.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't mean to put construction workers on blast, because hats off to them.
Well, it's not their fault. It's the people that organize it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just who's holding the time frame accountable here? Because since I've been alive, I feel like these roads have been worked on. So what is the goal?
Well, I don't know. First of all, my son loves construction sites and everything that has to do with construction. He knows about more trucks than me. Like, he told me what an excavator was. So
I don't even know what an excavator is.
But maybe they're getting paid by the hour, so they work a little bit slow, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because I'm like, I promise you this is the same road that's been worked on since I was a little kid in the backseat looking out the window. I'm like, what's going on? Who's holding this accountable here? We keep talking about the Magic rebuild. How about the roads rebuilt in Orlando? Why is that taking so long? But...
Right.
I don't mean to sound like an old man complaining here. I feel like I'm entering that. I did say I'm getting wiser, so I guess what comes with that is a little bit of complaining. But, yeah, I'm excited. I think Orlando's going to be a lot of fun. I know it's technically the down period because it's the off season. And besides Kevin Durant really keeping things alive and the pro-am, it is usually supposed to be this is like the downtime where you don't really have much to talk about. But I don't know. I always feel like there is. Like, literally right before we went live, my phone went off. Shams just posted it on Instagram that the Memphis Grizzlies are making a pursuit of Kevin Durant. And I feel like every team clearly has thought about that option, but how realistic is it? Obviously more than others. Memphis is very appealing, though. I think that's an interesting one. I don't think it happens with Memphis, but who are you? If you're Memphis right now, you have a lot going for you. Clearly, I don't even have to talk about Ja Morant, but just the young core that you have, who are you really willing to give up moving forward for Kevin Durant?
Yeah, I don't want to give up. Obviously, Ja Morant's totally untouchable.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to give up JJJ and Desmond Bane either.
No.
So, it's tough. But you might, for Kevin Durant, the way the Nets are going about things, I mean, you're probably going to have to give up one of those guys because they said no to a Jaylen Brown type package. So they're not going to say yes to something that doesn't involve JJJ or Desmond Bane. You know what I mean?
It's one of the most ridiculous things. I'm not going to lie here. Brooklyn, I understand you want to have leverage. You want to take your time, make the best trade. 100% support that. But what they're asking for is becoming more unrealistic by the second.
I mean, they don't want to give up Kevin Durant, in my opinion. That's how I look at it. Like, I think they want to make it work. Like, I think they never wanted to trade him. Obviously, with the new ultimatum thing, it looks like he will get traded eventually with that new piece of that tidbit of information. But it feels like they were just trying to say, hey, KD, we're trying to trade you. Look at us. But never really actually trying to do it.
Trying to understand the situation is a little hard, too, because we only have certain information that's given to us.
Right.
But I saw a picture of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving working out together. And then you see Kevin Durant isn't against playing with James Harden in Philly. So
yeah, he was at that Travis Scott concert with him.
It's a little weird, though.
Crazy backstage.
Right. But isn't it a little weird? Because from what we see, you would have thought James Harden doesn't really like playing with them right now, the way it affected his game. That's why, hence why he wanted to leave a little bit. And then with Kevin Durant, I know the attention has really been on the coaching staff and whatnot that he's really focused on, either them or me. But it did seem like they didn't, or at least it was portrayed to us like they didn't want to play together, right? So isn't that a little weird that they seem like they're all buddy-buddy? Like, I feel like there's something missing or something off.
Well, maybe just, maybe they're moody. Maybe some days they like each other, some days they don't. I guess every great relationship is like that, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I just feel
they weave in and out of wanting to hang with each other. I don't know. Very, very moody.
Yeah, there's something missing that I feel like.
But first of all, I mean, the reports aren't always correct. Like,
100%.
People will take things out of context all the time. You know what I mean? Like, little signs of this. They think it's a sign that they're not friends. But, you know, also, there's not a lot of NBA news going on right now. So people are overanalyzing everything. Do they like each other? Do they don't? Today they like each other. Tomorrow they want to play with each other. The next day they like each other but don't want to play with each other. But who really knows what's going on, you know?
Exactly. Now, did we last podcast, did we talk about the Redeem Team or no?
No.
Okay. Okay, then perfect. The Redeem Team, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, or I don't know if you saw this, I'm sure you did. They're releasing a documentary about the Redeem Team, obviously produced by LeBron and Dwayne Wade, that's going to be released on Netflix, I think. I believe they said October, which is obviously going to be amazing content. But it sparked, well, at least in my mind, at least, I saw a post. It was the Redeem Team versus the Dream Team, of course. And then there's another interesting one that I'll ask you as a follow-up. But the first one, just to remind people listening, remind you, who was on this Redeem Team? LeBron James, clearly. Kobe Bryant. You also had Carlos Boozer, Jason Kidd, Darren Williams, Dwight Howard, Chris Bosh, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony. Oh, wait. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. That's the 2008 team. 2012. One second. I'm thinking of the 2012 team is the one that I would stack against the Dream Team, not the Redeem Team. 2012 team is Tyson Chandler, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Westbrook, Williams, Iguodala, Kobe, Kevin Love, James Harden, Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, Carmelo Anthony. That's the one I'm referring to. That post got brought up against the Dream Team. Obviously, depends on what era you play in. The bigs of the Dream Team are far more superior than the bigs of this team in 2012. Regardless, what team would you take if it was in today's game, played the way that it is today, at least?
Yeah, but that's not fair because the Dream Team was even further away from this era. So you're like a product of your environment in a lot of ways, right? So, I mean, I guess if you say modern style of rules, that would definitely give the advantage to the team that's closer to this era, right?
I would agree with that.
Yeah, but I would say, like, player for player, in terms of all-time greatness, I'm going the Dream Team. Yeah.
Now, another interesting thing to think about, it shows you how like, the impact of international basketball has had on the NBA. It's crazy when you think about these positions. Because they said, if you could have LeBron James and Steph Curry right now, who are the other three players, if you had to create a starting lineup to go against the Dream Team starting lineup as of right now? So you have LeBron, Curry, you probably put Durant on there, right? At power forward, you can't go Giannis, you can't go Luka, right? You can't go, and then for center, you can't go Joel Embiid, you can't go Jokic. Those other two positions, it gets really interesting. I'd probably put Kawhi Leonard, just have some small ball. That center position, it's very hard to think of a top American center, right? I mean, you think of Anthony Davis maybe, but he's been banged up. You got Bam Adebayo. Cat, who do you put at that center position?
Man, I'm putting Giannis in.
You can't. He's not Team USA.
Oh, that's right. What am I talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm thinking about the NBA. Wow, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, in terms of mixing with those two guys.
You put Kevin Durant, obviously, in there. You could think Tatum, but I would put Kawhi Leonard in there. I want that defense and shooting.
And we're talking about them as of right now. I mean, we don't even know what Kawhi is, right? Paul George is a nice mix in there.
Over Tatum?
Paul George is better than Tatum.
I disagree with that. Right now?
Right now he's better.
Combo. Really?
Better basketball player, yeah.
What does he do better right now than Tatum?
Plays basketball better?
I don't know. I think that's definitely up for debate right there. Because Tatum right now, he's obviously an elite
defender. I understand why you would say Tatum, because he's had more team success lately. Okay, how about this? You tell me why Jason Tatum is a better basketball player than Paul George.
I think he does everything Paul George does, just a little bit better and a little bit bigger.
Doesn't shoot better. He doesn't pass better. His defense doesn't defend the perimeter better.
Tatum was doing a great job this year defensively. I mean, you see the job he did on Kevin Durant this year. Like, that was one of the big highlights of his postseason, was his defense.
I like Paul George's shot profile better. I think he's a better passer. I think he gets his shot off more effectively.
So you expect a big year from Paul George this year?
Yeah. I mean, like, he just hasn't had to put Paul George on the Celtics.
I don't think he leads Boston the way Tatum did.
I do.
Because we've seen him with those opportunities and those roles. We've seen it in OKC. We've seen, granted, it's a different team.
Granted, I'm just not as high on Tatum as others. So maybe I'm like the wrong person to talk about this with, you know? But to be like PG-13 is a better basketball player.
I'm trying to look up something real quick. Okay. I was curious to see what 2K rated them at. You know, 2K's ratings are always important.
That's all that matters. So.
I'm just curious to see what they did. So they have Tatum at a 90, which is the 15th highest ranked player, by the way.
Paul George, what, like, tell me.
88. So it's close, though. It's close.
And the reason why they lean towards Tatum is because he just made a deeper playoff run, but basketball is a team sport.
Agreed. But, I mean, you if know you what I mean? Their top 10, it's actually – I think this is the first game – God, I can't even tell you when, since LeBron's not the highest-rated player. Last year, he was tied for it. This year, Giannis is number one at overall 97. LeBron's 96. Kevin Durant's 96. Joel Embiid's 96. Curry's at 96. Jokic is at 96. Luka's 95.
LeBron's in, like, what, year 20?
Yeah. I mean, he shouldn't even be a 96, to be honest with you, because, like, I mean, he is, but it's not. Shouldn't be in year 20. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's amazing, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it is interesting. Because normally their ratings are pretty, I'm not going to lie, they're usually on the money. I know a lot of people push back, but I'm usually really happy with their ratings. So I was just curious. Anyway, but I am interested. Yeah. I do believe the Clippers are going to have a lot of success this year. If they stay healthy, I really do. I know we talk about Golden State and Milwaukee a lot and what's going on with Brooklyn, but the Clippers could be right there in the mix with all of them if healthy.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's all about health with them. They have a team that could definitely contend for a title. Hopefully Kawhi could come back and look close to what he was with Toronto. Man, that is asking a lot because he was super special back then, right? And I'm a big believer in Paul George. I think he's almost underrated at this point.
I love Paul George, by the way. I really do. I've always liked this game ever since Indiana. That guy has been a problem. And I do think he's underrated and he's underappreciated. I do, however... I understand some of the criticism, not most of it. A lot of it's just prisoner of the moment and people get hyped up about it. He's had some bad moments in the biggest moments. And obviously his availability.
I mean, we could do that with James Harden. We could do that with LeBron. We could do that.
Definitely
with
James
of
Harden.
Players.
Definitely James Harden. I'll give you that.
I mean, we could do that with a lot of players, but I don't know. I don't think that's always a fair. I mean, like, people just have bad series, man, you know? Like, I didn't even mention Jason Tatum's finals. I could have went there when talking about,
you could have,
you know, Paul George, and I didn't. So, it is what it is.
You could have, for sure. I wasn't impressed with Tatum this NBA finals, to be honest with you. Granted,
but you see what I did
time.
There. You see what I did there. I knew you were going to go that way, so I held that card. That
you did.
Jason Tatum final
you did.
Card.
You're playing chess.
You see what I'm saying? See what I'm doing here?
But Kawhi Leonard's 31 years old. I still believe we can get prime Kawhi back, if healthy. I really do.
He is prime Kawhi. He just doesn't play a lot. Like, when he's playing, he looks really good.
That's why I've called him the Kendrick Lamar of the NBA. He rarely makes music.
Hey, West Coast guys. It makes sense. West Coast guys.
Yeah, they're quiet. And they're not even on social media. They're literally one of each other. And some think they're the best in the world, especially when they drop or when they play. So, I mean, there was a point in time where they were saying Kawhi was the best in the world.
There is value in that mystique, right? Not always being everywhere.
Yeah, I prefer the Drake. I prefer the Drake route, me personally. But there is that mystique.
Well, that's not really about the mystique when it comes to Drake, because he's everywhere. Yeah. He's everywhere.
Just delivering nonstop. Besides this last album,
I like that. I would say that's more my style than the Kawhi.
Bro, you post content all the Kendrick. Time. You definitely are the Drake style.
I post a lot of content, right?
You do. You do. You post a lot of content.
I keep it pumping.
Okay, I wouldn't have used those choice of words, but yeah. You do.
Oh, now you're trying to call me. What's his name?
I didn't say any of that. But Combo, it's been real. I know this video content, for those listening, you're going to have to watch it, and especially to see the L.A. Braun Combo looking sharp in the Combo studio, Combo's court. I'm going to make a world tour soon. Not a girls tour, a world tour. And I will be. We have to record a live show. That's something I want to do by the end of the year.
We can make that happen.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you off air, Combo. I have some news to hopefully tell you. So,
that's awesome. We love news. We're working, Max. We're working. We just got to stay consistent, because this is going to be an awesome year for the Orlando Magic. We're going to have a lot to talk about. They have a fantastic young team. Orlando Magic fans, don't think too much about the play-in this year or the playoffs. Just focus on the development of this young team. Give Paul the keys. Franz right beside him with secondary ball handling. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun. And yeah, Orlando Magic fans should be excited about Markel Fultz, Jalen Suggs, right? Cole Anthony. Those guys are really young and exciting. Just go watch them go out there and hoop. Don't playoffs. Okay. Playoffs? We're talking about playoffs?
Come on, man. Not the, talking about playoffs. Hey, listen, you want the playoff bound, you may have to wait a year or two. But like Combo said, so much to be excited
for.
Yeah, maybe.
You never know. This is a great year to just focus on the development of your team and not worry about the playoffs. We got Wemby coming. We got Scoot coming. And we got a great draft class coming. So just relax. Get better. Improve. Now, if you see you're in great position on the way of doing that, I'm not mad at going for it, right? But it shouldn't be the goal, playoffs. Let's just put the best team out there possible. You know, you got to develop the players and see who you want to go forward with.
100% agree.
Give everybody an opportunity, you know?
And when we watch the Rising Star Challenge, we're going to have, what, three or four guys now? Because you have Jalen Suggs. This is his second year. Then you have Cole Anthony, then you'll have Franz, and you're going to have Paolo. That's a really cool thing to have, four guys in that challenge. That's a bright future. So Orlando fans, you got a lot to be happy for. Combo?
A lot of magic. You want me to take us out of here?
Boom, boom, boom. Yep, 3D alley-oop.
You know, subscribe to the MVP podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to Combo's Court wherever you listen to podcasts. It's Max_Van_Alkin on Instagram. It's 12Combo on Instagram. And definitely subscribe to this very podcast wherever you're listening. We're out of here, Max.
We're out of here. Talk soon, Combo.
Talk soon.